We'll read verses 21 through 25 together. Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 25. And we'll read this passage responsively. Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 25. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up, and he shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the provinces, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil, and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. And let's pray. Father, thank you. You have been so very good to us. Lord, one day history will be recorded, and I believe that this church and these days will be written about very mightily by you in heaven. Father, thank you that we get to be here at this time. Again, we're a needy people. We need you again. Oh, this morning the altars were full and lives were changed, but we're still a sinful people and we still need you to change us. Please use our preacher tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I call the sermon this evening, Stir Up Your Courage. We live in a world that is almost void of spiritual heroes. We live in a world that's full of spiritually soft and weak people. Everybody wants to do the easy thing. Everybody wants easy success. Everybody wants easy money. Everybody wants easy fame. If a task takes true courage, sacrifice, and big risk, you can count most people out. They just want to be spectators. Courage for God has been exchanged for convenience and cowardice. But I believe we are to be courageous. We are here on this earth representing Jesus Christ, the most courageous of all beings. We are to be an example of His courage. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 25, let me read the verse to you again. It says, And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. Briefly, let me mention just a little of the history that takes place right here in Daniel 11. This chapter gives an account of what we would call Daniel's last vision, a prophecy. He describes the succession of the Persian and the Grecian monarchies. Wars were predicted to take place between Syria and Egypt. The king of the south would have been Egypt, and a war is predicted here. And this verse comes from a time of captivity and unrest, and a time that it took some courage to face what they must face. It says, And he shall stir up his power and his courage. Stir up his power and his courage. Folks, if you're going to have victory, you must stir up your courage. I tell you something. There are so many rewards in what I do as a pastor. I just love what I do. But let me tell you, one of the great rewards is when I watch God's people have victory. There's just something about it. I feel like a coach. I'm on the sidelines and I'm trying to get people to work together and make something good happen. And when I see it come together, when I see a family have victory, when I see a man have victory, when I see a lady have victory, I get so excited about it. And I'll tell you, it saddens me that we're not seeing more victory. I want us to have victory. I want to be your encourager. I want to make you believe you can do it. I want to pull from deep down inside you something that you never dreamed was down in there. I want to pull it out. I want to show it to you. I want you to capitalize on it. I want you to use it. I want you to succeed. I want you to go forward. And I want you to do things for God that you never dreamed you could do. But that takes courage. It takes courage. I want to stir up your courage. You have courage. You say, Brother Owens, I don't have any courage. Oh, yes, you do. You have courage, but you have allowed it to become inactive or required it to stay inactive. I believe God gives us all any amount of courage that we need to do anything He wants us to do. See, if He would not, if He did not, that would make God unjust. How fair would it be for God to give us something to do that would take courage and then Him not provide for us the courage we need? Which means this, whatever you have to do, God has already provided the courage. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to allow it to remain inactive? Are you going to capitalize or cash in on the courage that God has given you? God's never unfair. God is never unjust. Therefore, He has given you courage. You have the courage to do exactly what you need to do. And if you don't do it because of a lack of courage, it's not a lack of Him giving you courage. It's a lack of you using the courage He provided for you. Joshua 1:7 says this, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Here it says, you're going to live for God. You're going to need to be courageous. And God gives you courage if you want to use it. Psalm 27:14 says, Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hey, stir up your courage. Stir up your courage so you can do the hard things of life. Stop being a weakling about life. Don't be anemic about life. Look, you've only got one life. Let's live it. There are victories available, and let's cash in on them. I don't want to stand on the sidelines and watch everybody else play ball. I want to play ball too. I don't want to be a bench warmer for Jesus. I don't want to just come in here and grab a bench, call a few, sit there and watch everybody else do something. Watch everybody else experience victory. No, I'm on the winning side and I want to play. I want a Super Bowl ring when we get to heaven. I want to be a part of what's happening. Some of you need to learn to do the hard thing. Some of you need to admit that you run from hard things. Think about it. Something hard comes along, you go, I don't want to be involved in this. Ooh, want anything to do with that? Admit you're afraid to do the hard things, and some of you need to stir up your courage. Stir up your courage and experience some victory in your life. Let's learn to do the hard things. Let's learn to do what is not easy. Let's not be the convenient or fair weather Christians. You know how many people, the minute there's a little turmoil in the weather, they stay home, they won't come to church. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. The minute something's not going right in your life, well, you're backing off on church and backing off on your service of God. No, you need to step up at that time, not go backwards. Oh, let's learn to do the hard things. For instance, let's learn to do the hard thing of making a comeback from a backslidden condition. Let's learn to do the hard thing of making a comeback from a backslidden condition. You take the story of Peter. We know that Jesus was on the way to the cross, and Peter followed Him afar off, and Peter found himself in a backslidden condition. It says in Matthew 26, verse 71 and 72, When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know this man. Here Peter was. He was following Jesus afar off. Somebody said, Hey, are you not with Jesus? And Peter said, I don't even know the guy. He was backslidden. Peter had backslidden. In verse 75 it says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Jesus had predicted that Peter would deny him. Peter didn't believe the prediction. Peter denies him. And the minute Peter realized what he did, he wept bitterly. Peter was down on himself. Peter was brokenhearted, but Peter had gotten backslidden. He had gotten away from the Lord. Let me tell you something. It can be very difficult to come back once you get backslidden, and because it's hard, that's why some people don't do it. It's hard. We don't want to do anything hard. The devil tries to make it hard. See, but why is it so hard when we get away from the Lord to come back? Well, part of it is we've got to admit to ourselves we've been wrong. And our pride does not want us to say, "I am wrong. I have done wrong." When was the last time you said to God on your knees, "I have done wrong"? How can you make it? How can you go to this church as much as you do and never use this altar? How can you go through a sermon like you heard this morning and you didn't use the altar last month? You're not going to use it this month. You don't need the altar. Some of you need the altar just for the very reason you won't use the altar, because it would humble you. Go and take care of it in private. You sin in public. How about get right with God in public? Oh, but you know what? We'd have to admit to ourselves. One of the reasons why people do not come back to God when they've been backslidden is because they'd have to admit that they're wrong. Why is it so hard to come back to God? Why do we make it hard? Well, we have to face God. We don't want to face God. Let you in on something. He already knows. He's waiting for you to come to Him. When you say, "I just don't want to face Him," He's looking right smack dab at you. He knows everything about you, every thought, the intent of your heart. He's just waiting for you to come back. But we seem to make it hard. We have to face others. Good Christians maybe know that we have messed up. How about the people that have been negatively influenced by your backslidden condition? Now, that makes it hard. It sure does. Maybe you say, "But Brother Owens, I've been backslidden before, and here I am again." You say, "But Owens, I'm going to have to reap something that I have sown." That is exactly right. Stir up your courage and come back to God. It's hard. I realize that, but you had the courage to do it. It's up to you. Will you use that courage, or will you sit there and continue in your backslidden condition? And some of you need to come all the way back. All the way back. Why? I watch people, they'll come halfway back. They'll come partially back. No, come all the way back. Jump all the way in. Stir up your courage. I know it's hard. You know, backsliding can happen without anybody knowing it but you. You know something that's hard about backsliding? Because sometimes you need to apologize to people. You did wrong. And you need to apologize. I'll tell you something that'll cure some of you of your gossip. When you gossip and you hurt somebody and you mention their name, something that you have no right to mention their name attached to, go apologize to them for marring their reputation on your accusation. There's a lady in this church that owes some people an apology right this second. She ought to go and say, "I mentioned your name associated with something, and I have no proof what I said," and she owes them an apology. And she ought to go and say, "I am sorry." Oh, that's hard. All right, stay backslidden. Stay a mess. Get further away from God. But you have the courage to get right with God if you want to get right with God. And we need to stir up our courage. Hey, Peter did. Listen to this. Acts 2:41. "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Let me tell you what happened. Peter got backslidden. He got away from God. He denied Jesus Christ. He cussed. He would not even associate with Jesus Christ. But you find out not long after Peter got right with God, he stood up. He preached the day of Pentecost, and God used him in a mighty way. He didn't come halfway back. He came all the way back. He had to get right with God to do it, but he had courage, and he used that courage, and he did something great for God. You'll never do anything great for God if you cannot stir up your courage to come back to God when you get away from Him. Secondly, learn to do the hard thing of controlling yourself. It takes courage. We want to do the easy thing. Let's learn to do the hard thing in life. Learn to do the hard thing of controlling yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Here God says we ought to be slow to anger. Here the Bible says we ought to rule our spirit. We must learn to spiritually control ourselves. Spiritually control ourselves. The Bible says you are greater if you can control your spirit, and if you can control your anger, you are greater than someone that could take over an entire city. A conqueror. Someone that took over a city. They conquered a city. David conquered a city. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 8:1, and after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Meth-gamma of the hand of the Philistines. You know, the Bible says here, David conquered an entire city of the Philistines. Congratulations, David! You conquered a city! May I read to you another passage? 2 Samuel 11:4, and David sent messengers and took her. She came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her own house. David was able to conquer a city, but David couldn't conquer himself. Because that passage of Scripture is about David taking somebody else's wife, Bathsheba. And he said, I conquered! No, you didn't conquer, David. You needed to conquer you. You needed to do the hard thing, David, of controlling yourself. Hey, you conquer out there in the world, don't you, sir? Hey, corporate executive, you're out there conquering territory. Let me ask you a question. Are you conquering yourself for God? Well, I'm going forward. My career, I'm just somebody. Are you somebody in the kingdom of God? I'm conquering territory so fast, brother. No one's out there in this world. Woohoo! They respect me out there. Do we respect you here? Who can't be respected in the world? Matter of fact, it helps if you cutthroat too. But at the church you're cutthroat, you won't get exalted. Being worldly here at the church, that won't get it. You can go drink with the people down at work and tell their filthy jokes and miss church to participate in all that they want. And boy, you'll go somewhere out there. You're conquering the world out there. Well, how much conquering are you doing here at church?
Right.
How much territory are you gaining for God? Hey, we better learn to conquer ourselves. Let's learn to do the hard thing. Say, Brother Horns, that'd take some courage. You're absolutely right. You need to stir up the courage that is within you. You need to conquer your lust. The Bible says in Psalm 81, verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Somebody here needs to conquer your temper. You say, it'd be hard. It might be hard. Won't you do the hard thing? Stir up your courage and do the hard thing. Conquer your temper. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, I'm going somewhere. You think out there in the world you're doing well in leading. But let me ask you a question. How are you doing at home with the most important leadership, with your wife? I'm polite to my clients. Are you polite to your wife? To your kids? Control your temper. Conquer it. Conquer it. You can do it. Some of you need to control your tongue. You need to conquer your tongue. Say, that would be hard. Yes, indeed. It's a big task because it's a big tongue. The Bible says in James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not be. In other words, the Bible is saying you're two-faced. You're two-faced. You get with the right people, you'll talk bad about folks. You get with other people, and you act like you're a good, wholesome Christian. You're two-faced. You're double-tongued. And God said that's wrong. God said that ought not be. You need to conquer your tongue. Conquer your tongue. He said, that's hard. Stir up your courage and do what's hard. You need to control your spirit. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Some of you need to be a little more predictable. Watch your attitude. Conquer. Have some victory in your life. Do what's hard. And to do it, you're going to have to stir up your courage. Control your appetites. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:2, it says, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Some of you just need to learn to control yourself. You need to learn that within you is the courage for you to control yourself, and you need to stir up that courage, and you need to control yourself. You need to learn to do the hard thing of coming back when you get in a backslidden condition, and learn to do the hard thing of controlling yourself. We need to learn to do the hard thing of overcoming our weaknesses. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 4, it tells us this about Moses. Moses, he had a weakness in speech. He actually, I think, had a speech impediment. God was asking Moses to lead the children of Israel and to face Pharaoh, a very well-educated man. And Moses was to rise up and face Pharaoh. And this is what it says. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not an eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow in tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" God went to Moses, and "Moses, I need you to speak up for me." And Moses said, "I have this weakness." And God said, "You don't have to have that weakness. I will give you the courage to do what you need to do." How about you? What weakness in your life do you need to stir up your courage and do what you would say, "That's hard for me"? Then stir up your courage and do what's hard. You say, "I'm too shy to witness for the Lord." Then stir up your courage and do it anyway. I'm afraid to sing in church. Well, you know what you need to do? Stir up your courage and get the courage to be used of God. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this thing. Everybody, when you sing behind this pulpit, could I teach you a little something? If you would get just a little more courage about you, and you would just sing out, and you'd just realize, hey, look, we're not here. You don't have to impress us, but you ought to do your best. When you stand behind that pulpit and you sing, I want you to sing with confidence. We're singing right. We're singing good music. We're singing good words. We're singing in the Holy Spirit. Stand up here and sing. Don't you? And I realize everybody's got some fear, but it's time for some of you to comfort. Conquer it and let God use you. Moses, had we asked Moses to sing in church, he would have said, I'm not sure I can. And God said, "Stand up there and sing, Moses. Quit making up excuses. Stir up thy courage." Oh, I tell you what, I couldn't stand and give a testimony. You could if you wanted to. You have the courage within you if you just use that courage. Stir up. Let's learn to take care. Let's learn to battle with our own weaknesses and stir up your courage, even with your own weaknesses. You take Gideon. You know, when God found Gideon, Gideon was a man of fear. Judges 6:11-12 says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." You know what God says to him? "The Lord is with thee, thou man of valor." Here's what happened. God went down. They were checking up on old Gideon. They were going to ask him to be a leader for God. When they found him, he was virtually hiding behind a piece of farm equipment, if you will. He was scared. "Oh, I'm scared. Here they come." You know what God said? "Come out of there. Gideon, thou man of valor." He said, I'm not a man of valor. I'm hiding over here." God said, "You get out here right now. I've got something for you to do. Get your tail out from between your legs, and we're going to do some conquering." What some of you need to do? Stop being so afraid. Stop being so afraid of everything. You have got to stir up your courage if God's going to use you. You've got to do it. He was hiding in fear. Somebody here, God needs you to become a bus captain. Stop being afraid. Step up. Somebody here, God needs you to teach a Sunday school class. Step up and stop being afraid. Some of the ones, "I'm afraid to go soul winning." Step up and stop being afraid to go soul winning. Some of the ones, I'm afraid. Some of you are afraid to go to work and be a Christian. You're afraid to carry your Bible to work. Some of you go to a public school and you're afraid to take your Bible to school. Step up. Stir up your courage and step out for God. There are people in this room, you are afraid to surrender to God because you're afraid of what He might ask you to do. He might just ask you to go soul winning or teach a Sunday school class or become a worker or become a captain on a bus route. You don't want to get right with God because you're afraid He might ask you to do something hard. Stir up your courage, my friend. Stir it up. God wants to use you. Oh, what happens to us? We have weaknesses. Moses, a speech impediment. He didn't feel strong in front of people. But God said, I've got to use you. I need you. We find Gideon. Gideon was a man with fear. And God said, you've got to step out of that fear. You've got to get your courage. Stir up your courage, Gideon. God can use you. But you're going to have to stir up your courage about your fears, your weaknesses. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out Thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. You know something? You and God can do it together. You can overcome those fears. You can overcome those weaknesses. You can overcome that shyness, and you can do it. Jeremiah 32:27 says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? You know, you say, Oh, Brother Owens, I'm afraid. I'm weak. I don't think I can. You can with God. And there's nothing too hard for God. What weakness is beating you? What weakness is beating you? What weakness has you pinned in fear? What weakness is keeping you from going forward for God? Some of you need to shake it off and say, that's it. I am going to stir up my courage. You say, but Brother Owens, I've tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. Let me tell you something about trying and failing and trying and failing. I try and fail and try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. But I'll tell you, it never stops with the word fail with me. I may try and fail, and I may try again and fail, and I may try again and fail. But I'll tell you what, I'm going all the way to my grave trying again. You try and fail. I try and fail and try. Try and fail and try. It's time for some of you to try again. And you decide, whatever that weakness is, I'm not going to let it stop me. What weakness is keeping you from serving God? What weakness is keeping you from serving God and doing something greater for Him? Stir up your courage and do that hard thing. You know, if you only do what's easy in life, you will have such a low spiritual success rate, you won't like it. You won't like it. You'll be mealy-mouthed all your life. Rise up. Get some victory in your life. Get involved. Do something for God. You say, I'm not a good talker. Talk anyway. Well, I'm scared. Well, run scared. You run faster when you're scared anyhow. You can do it. You can do it. Boy, we want the easy thing. Give me something easy to do. Give me something that won't be hard on me. Give me something. Hey, give me something that there's no chance I'll fail at. That's what I want. Just give me something I know I won't fail at. It's time for some of you to say, I'm taking a chance. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to try. I'm not going to be last in line forever. I want to get up there in the front of line and make something happen and do something with my life. I want to be a part of the team. Learn to do the hard thing. If you're backslidden, hey, if you're not backslidden, you better decide right now, if I find myself backslidden someday, I'll do the hard thing. I'll come back to God. Learn to do the hard thing of controlling yourself. Learn to do the hard thing of overcome your weakness. Some of you need to learn to do the hard thing of sacrificing to serve Him. What the Bible says about the apostles, it says here in Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. Wow. Forsaken all and follow thee? Here is someone saying, we were willing to forsake anything we had to forsake to be in God's will. Willing to give up anything necessary to serve Him. There's some of you, you need to give up some overtime so you can be in church. Somebody might, hey, you might even find yourself someday offered a promotion. There's a man sitting in this building. I'm very proud of him. He came to me and he said, Brother Owens, they are offering me a very lofty promotion at work. I want to do exactly what God wants, and if God wants me to turn that promotion down, I will turn it down. I want God's will more than promotion of man. He said, now if I can take the promotion, and if I can stay faithful to God and on my bus route and stay faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I'll do it. But if not, I'm turning the promotion down, and I'll stay right with God. And I am so proud of this guy. He is so productive. He has so many people saved every week of his life. He is turning a part of our county upside down for Christ, but he was willing to sacrifice. You say, I don't like that. You liked it when God sacrificed for you, didn't you? How much did you want Him to give? He gave it all. And you readily accepted it. Hey, now we need to learn to sacrifice. You say, that's hard. Then do the hard thing. Stir up your courage. Some of you young people, you need to be willing to give up popularity at school to take a stand for what's right. That's hard. Stir up your courage. Stir up your courage, young person. Hey, what are you unwilling to sacrifice for God? What is it? I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to do that for God. Well, He gave it all for you. Talk to one of our fine families this week. We must have talked 45 minutes or so in my office. I asked permission to give this illustration. I'm not going to mention names, but they work in a certain corporation. That corporation said, we're moving you. They came to my office and they said this. They said, Brother Owens, they're trying to move us. God didn't knock on our door and tell us to move. But the corporation said, we're moving you. We want to do what God wants us to do. He said, he turned to his wife. He said, honey, I'm going to tell him what we discussed. He said, honey, you remember, I asked you a certain question. He told me this story. He said, we were sitting in our living room. We've been praying and asking God for wisdom. He said, I turned to my wife and I said, honey, you realize if we just decide we're staying right here in our church, we may have to downsize our house. Honey, do you believe that that's what God wants enough to move from our beautiful home into a mobile home park if we need to? She said, I want God's will no matter what it takes. Wow. That sounds like New Testament Christianity to me.
Oh, God, take care of me. Watch out for me.
You better be careful. You better be careful who you let lead you. Hey, let's learn to do what's hard. Let's learn to sacrifice for Him, even if it's hard. Let's learn to overcome our weaknesses, even if it's hard. Let's learn to control ourselves, even if it's hard. Let's learn to come back to God when we're backslidden, even if it's hard. Let's learn to obey the Word of God by faith, even when it's hard. You're going to have to stir up your courage to live by faith. Hey, living by sight, that's easy. Living by faith, you'll have to stir up your courage to live by faith. Genesis, we see the story of Abraham. God spoke to Abraham about giving his son Isaac as a burnt sacrifice. What a story. Let me read it to you. Genesis 22, verse number 1 and 2, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, that means tested him, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Picture that. God said, Abraham, you take your only boy. You love him dearly. You're going to take him to a mountain and you will give him as a burnt sacrifice. The Bible says in Genesis 22, verse number 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham actually took his boy. He went to the mountain. He built the altar. He put his boy on it. He took out the knife. He was getting ready to do exactly what God told him to do. He said, well, I disagree with that. You better not ever disagree with what God decides. You think you're in charge of morality in the universe? God knows what He's doing. God was checking to see if Abraham was committed to God. God was seeing if Abraham was a man of faith. God wanted to see if the family of Abraham or the seed of Abraham was worthy of being unnumbered like the sand of the sea. And I'll tell you something. God said, wait, Abraham, stop right there. I'm sure Abraham said, phew, that was a close one. And I believe God had looked down and seen the heart of Abraham and said, that man right there believes me. He lives by faith. He does what I want him to do. He didn't hesitate. Abraham was going to do what God wanted. He didn't debate God. He didn't argue with God. He didn't require proof from God. He didn't get angry with God. He obeyed God by faith. Why does it take you so long to obey God? How is it God can speak to your heart, tell you something ought to be done, and it takes you 2 or 3 months to get there? Why don't you just obey? That's hard! Stir up your courage. Stir up your courage. Step out by faith. Living by faith in Him is hard. That's why most won't do it. Obeying His Word by faith may be hard. Then you need to stir up your courage. Stir up your courage. Somebody in here, you need to get baptized. You've been saved and you've been baptized. Then when we give the invitation in a little while, just walk down this aisle and do what's hard and get in that thing. The Bible says you're to follow the Lord in believer's baptism after you get saved. Step out. Get some courage about yourself. Somebody needs to join a church. You're just virtually afraid to step out and walk down the aisle. Step out and stir up your courage. Somebody here needs to tithe. You say, I don't understand it. Well, welcome to the ever-loving club. Yeah. Step out and do what God commands you to do. Somebody here needs to change your life. You sit in these church services, you know there are things you do that you're not supposed to do, and it's time for you, by faith, to step out and just change it. That would be hard. Stir up your courage and do what's hard. The courage is available. You're not using it. Hey, learn to do the hard thing. Some of you, you're going to have to learn to do the hard thing of bearing your burden. Job did. You know what Job said? The devil took out after Job's family and his businesses, and he loses it, just about everything. And Job says this after he's lost so much. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Huh. Job bore his burden. Some of you need to decide, no matter what I face, I'm going to do, even if it's hard, I'm going to stay close to God, I'm going to keep a good attitude, and I'll start serving, I'll keep serving my God. You have a heartache, you say, Brother Owens, what I'm going through is so hard, then stir up your courage and do what's hard. Oh, Brother Owens, what I face, the burden that I bear, oh, it's going to be hard. All right, then it's going to be hard. What should I do? Stir up your courage and do what's hard. You know, we can thank God Jesus did what was hard. Let me tell you how hard it was for Jesus. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Word perfect. Word perfect. Was it hard? Yes, but he stirred up his courage. And he did what was hard. He was accused of wrong. They had people that were like the devil back then too, that go around accusing the brethren without proof. And Jesus was accused. It was hard. But he kept his chin up and he kept the right attitude and he stayed holy and he did right. He stirred up his courage. They mocked him. But he stirred up his courage and he did what was hard. They crucified him. He had never done one thing wrong and they were nailing him to a cross, beating him senseless. And he did not sin in all of it. It was hard, but he stirred up his courage, and he did what was hard. They put him in a grave. Then he got out of the grave. And it was hard. If you don't believe it, once you're dead, come back and see us. You can grunt, huff, and puff all you want, but you're not coming back. But Jesus did. I'm glad he stirred up his courage on that third day and he said, I cannot stay here. I've got to get up. And I'm sure all of eternity said, what you're about to try to do, buddy, is awful hard. He said, I have the courage of God within me. I'm getting up. I've got some people to help. I've got to make a difference. Every human being alive needs me to get up. I'm getting up. And somebody needs you to get up. And somebody needs you to get some courage. And somebody needs you to get some victory. You need to do what's hard. Stir up your courage, Christian. And whatever it is, you need your courage to help you to do. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up, bus captain. Stir it up, Sunday school teacher. Stir it up, mom. Stir it up, dad. Stir up your courage, teenager, and do right. You'll never regret it. There are so many victories that we will not experience because we just won't use the courage that God's made available. Look at me and listen to me. In the balcony, everyone, carefully, one last statement, I'm done. You can be as victorious as you want to be. What's stopping you? Because it is not God stopping you from having victory in your life. He would not do that. It must be something else. Who's stopping you from victory? When you get home, take a look in the mirror. Because He's available. He's available. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.